Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Now this morning, I would like to follow up really from the message that is really a keynote message for us both at Kingdom Faith Southwest, but I believe actually for the church in the nation, is that we are moving forward into greater fruitfulness and greater signs and wonders. And though there is opposition, we will actually reach our destination. And one of the truths that we're believing for and God for is a building. And that's only going to house what God is doing. It's not the most important thing. Because as Jesus said, the clothes are for the body and not the other way around. And so last week was such a key message for Kingdom Faith Southwesters. And so if you weren't here, please to download the free podcast. Can I say free? It's free. Please listen to it because it will both encourage you and tell you where we're going. But this is really part two of seeing those awesome things that lie ahead actually come to pass. And so really, I'd like to talk this morning on prayer. It's amazing what reception you get when you say you're going to speak about prayer. It's like, But actually, prayer changes things. And prayer brings in what God wants to do into the earth. So, Father, I ask for the spirit of revelation. I pray for religious hearing to stop. And for your spirit to give life this morning to us as your people to pray effectively. Lord, we know that each one of us is called to pray, but I pray for an excitement, a spirit impartation, the spirit of faith to come and impart to us so that we can see the greater things come into the world. And so, Father, thank you for your spirit and word operating in this place to help us to become effective in our prayer lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. Jesus is teaching on prayer here in Matthew 6. And his prayer life was had the wow factor. Do you know what that means? The disciples went, whoa, that's exciting. Teach us to pray like you pray. Not, oh no, that's boring. We don't want to pray. So the prayer life that Jesus had actually made the disciples want to pray. And I pray that your prayer life will make other people want to pray. That's a good goal to have, isn't it? And Jesus said here in verse 6, when you pray, not if, not maybe, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Isn't that exciting? I like rewards. I like to get rewards from prayer. I like to receive stuff from God through prayer. And God promises to give an open reward to people who go into what we would call a secret place. So it's not kind of an openly advertised ministry. This morning, I'm in an open ministry. I'm here preaching the word. But earlier on this morning, I was in a secret place praying for what God will do here. In fact, I knew that half of the church were going to be away this morning. And so I actually prayed for loads of visitors. And here you are. So you are the fruit of prayer this morning. Very early this morning, I was like, God, it's going to look like a wipeout if we don't see more people come in. So let's believe. And aren't we supposed to be praying like that anyway? Not, oh, it's just me going to church. I might pray other people will come. Thank you, Jesus. So Jesus says, go into your secret place. Go alone. Your Father is in the unseen. So you can't see God, but he is there. And he says, I'm your Father. That means he really loves you. And he wants you to ask him. He wants you to come to pray, come into fellowship with him. If the Father is there in the unseen, it means there's more than you there. So when you go into your room and pray, it's not just you. God is there. And when you pray, God promises to answer your prayers. Now, the devil attacks prayer. He makes it feel meaningless, and he makes us feel like it's not doing anything. Have you ever prayed and felt like nothing happened? And the devil is at work to stop you and I praying and operating out of what we feel, not out of what we believe, because Jesus said you're to believe what I say, that if you pray, I'll reward you with answers. So you're going to get rewards. You're going to get an answer from God through prayer. Prayer doesn't just get answers, though. Praying and coming to your Father, coming to Jesus, prayer actually softens your heart. People who don't pray have quite a hard kind of attitude. And haven't got this openness to the reality of God's presence here and now. So prayer has the power to soften you and I up. And I know that when I start to pray, I may not feel very soft. But if I keep going, I'll get to a place where I experience, yeah, God, it makes Jesus real. It makes the presence of God real as long as I get going. But if I never get going, I will never experience what God has for me in terms of coming into his heart for people. And we need God's heart for people. We need to be praying out of the compassion and the mercy of God. And prayer is never, and I repeat, never to be out of judgment. The church is not called to judge the world, but to be merciful as God is merciful and to pray with compassion for the heavenly pattern to actually come into their lives, which is only good. We heard this morning a testimony of somebody we prayed for a few weeks ago who was a medium, a spiritual medium, batting for the other side. That's what that's called. Actually proactively used by the enemy. We pray because God wants to heal everyone and show that he is good anyway. And hopefully show such kindness that it will lead to a turning or a repentance and following Jesus. And so prayer breaks selfishness. That if you and I don't pray, then we become intentionally me-centered. We just want life to revolve around us personally. I'll go on more about that, but actually, I know that if I'm not praying and praying as Jesus asked me to pray, I'll get focused on how life's working for me, what's happening to me, what prayers I want, and actually self has become the center of my prayer life. And that's not what Jesus intends. We have the privilege as God's children to petition God, to ask God and receive things. So it is part of his plan for us. But we need to come out of just personal prayer for us and move beyond into praying for others and for the world. I think that's why, really, on the back of the testimony of what's going on in Morocco, it's a selfless people that will actually see change in a nation. Whether it's this nation or Morocco, there is no difference in a way. It's just that they're more persecuted. I think that the greatest thing that's persecuting us at the moment is apathy. And that is a spirit. It needs to be addressed, and we need to stand against apathy in our prayer lives and come into a place of activity. Be an active prayer. Jesus was a man of prayer. And that means to me that prayer isn't assigned to women or old people. Can I just say that again? Prayer isn't just for the women or old people. It's for the body of Christ, the church of Jesus, in which there is neither male nor female, can I add? Because when the new creation prays, we get the right understanding about our position before God. But Jesus modeled prayer. And I believe we need to model true prayer in the Spirit. We need to model a reality of a powerful prayer life. In Israel, there was a sign at the center of Israel, which was Jerusalem. And in the center of Jerusalem was the temple. And in Matthew 21, Jesus went into the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and those dealing in business in the house of God. And I don't know if you remember, he said, my house, that's God's house, God's temple, will not be called, is not a den of thieves, but is a house of prayer for all nations. And so basically he was saying, don't turn my temple over to selfish gain. So this morning, as we take intercession and prayer for people outside the church, we are acting as we should, as a house of prayer for all nations, aren't we? So we're going beyond ourselves for the purpose of God. And Jesus said the core then of the ministry of the temple or the house of God is prayer. It's to be center of both you and us. Because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Is that a miracle? If you're born again, God's Spirit lives in you, and you now are the temple, the dwelling place of God. And we as the church are being built together as a spiritual house. That's why there are no independent believers in God's mind. We are being built, what? Together. Yeah. As a spiritual house, a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And so together, we are a house of prayer. Say, I'm a house of prayer. Say, we are a house of prayer. Now that's the right mentality about who we are as a people. That's God's thinking, isn't it? In Psalm 65, the word says, in awesome deeds and righteousness, you will answer us. Can I just repeat that? In awesome deeds. What's an awesome deed? It's a wow deed. It's a, that's beyond human power. Okay, so when something's awesome, it makes you stand and go, my goodness me, that's amazing. So God wants to say that your prayer life should be full of, my goodness me, that's amazing. So you're to have a, my goodness me, that's amazing prayer life. In awesome deeds and righteousness, so in right living and right standing with God, you will answer us. God promises to answer not with a little thing, but with an incredible work of power. Thank you, Jesus. We are going to a new place as a church. We're going to a new location. We're on a journey where we're seeing people saved. We're seeing nations influenced. We're seeing the miraculous become normal. God is making the supernatural normal. We are seeing more miracles. Every week we are hearing about the amazing, awesome deeds God is doing. Thank you, Jesus. It's wonderful. And we need to unite as the house of prayer, God's people praying. Do you remember when Jesus, and I love to think about how Jesus kind of really brought about such an amazing miracle with Lazarus. Do you remember he heard that his friend was sick? And he actually proclaimed, he said, this sickness will not end in death, but it's for the glory of God to be revealed. So he basically straight away brought God's word into that situation. And then he just stayed where he was and didn't go and see Lazarus. Now, in today's church world, that pastor would have been criticized for not visiting. But Jesus actually lived, led by the Father, not by need. He was actually always moved by what God led him to do. And so after 3 days, he says, let's go visit Lazarus. And of course, you know the story, Lazarus had already died. He was in the tomb and the tomb was already shut, closed. And Jesus asked for the tomb to be opened. So somebody moved the stone after a little bit of opposition because they said, actually, it'll be a bit stinky. It's not going to be very pleasant for the environment to do that. And so Jesus, as he stood before this, I would say in essence, decaying body. So it wasn't even just a fresh body. Sorry to be so explicit, but I want to tell you how bad it got. It got really bad. Worse than bad. And he stands there and he says, so confident in his God, the Father. And remember, Jesus lived as a man. Of course, he was the Son of God, but he lived as we are called to live, as our example under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So he stood there and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me and that you always hear me. I mean, that's confident. That's boldness in prayer. Father, thanks, you heard me. That's past tense. He had already prayed. He wasn't at the tomb praying. He'd already prayed. And that you always hear me. So in other words, this is a lifestyle of getting miracles because I ask and I know you've heard me. And then he said, thank you that you have heard me, but so these people will see that you sent me. And actually see that you're God. He spoke to that dead and decayed body. Lazarus, come out, come forth. And Lazarus came out. And so we understand that Jesus had already received the resurrection of Lazarus in prayer. When you pray, Jesus said, but when you pray, not after you've seen it happen, when you pray, believe that you have received it. And then you'll have it. So that you can be confident to stand before dead situations and say, I've already got that. Doesn't look like anything yet, but it's coming out. This will manifest because I've prayed it into being. So prayer makes the impossible possible. And we are created for this time, for impossible things. You are anointed for impossible things. God has got you where you are to address impossible things and see the impossible made possible. Oh, happy day, happy day. In James chapter 5, let's look there.
As you look, I'm blowing my nose. Praise the Lord for tissues.
I've already been healed this morning enough to be here. So, it's amazing how if you have to be somewhere, you are there. So, don't give your flesh an opportunity, basically. And God will use you. James 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, pray for each other so that you may be healed. I'm going to major in on this line here. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Or another translation says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Makes tremendous power. Think about that word, tremendous. If somebody's describing something out of the ordinary, they'll say tremendous, won't they? They'll say it's actually bigger than your mind currently is thinking. And so your prayers can produce something bigger than you currently think. Because it makes tremendous power available. You see, when there's nothing else to do, I can pray. When we've hit a wall, I can pray. When there are no answers, I can pray. When I'm in trouble, I can pray. At the point of death, I can pray. When a marriage is over, I can pray. When a relationship is bad, I can pray. When my kids aren't following Jesus, I can pray. When I haven't got a job, I can pray. Because it makes tremendous power available in the earth. See, when God's people pray together, individually but together, there is an emphasis, and there must be, for corporate prayer in our day. That means the whole church prays. When God's people pray, God promises, if my people will turn and pray and seek my face, I will heal their land. When God's people pray, the land gets healed. The nation will be healed. When God's people corporately pray. See, the emphasis, and God's emphasis, is on us being together to pray. That can happen on a Sunday morning. In our corporate prayer meetings, it's a must. If you want to be part of healing the land, which, if I ask you that question, you should, if you're born again, you'll say yes. And so, corporate prayer is for you. Because you're called to heal the nation through your prayers. Prayer makes the impossible possible. Prayer can and will change this nation. I'm going to say it again. Our prayers and the prayers of the saints in this nation can and will change the nation. In fact, they are changing the nation. But we will see ever increasing signs and wonders and glory and awesome deeds. And wow, that's an amazing prayer life. Thank you, Jesus. You see, the world mocks weakness. It actually says, intellectually, if you haven't got a brain, you're not strong. It says, if you're rich, I will look down on the poor. Intellectual pride financial pride, or even practical pride. They look down on you if you can't do something. And Jesus isn't like that, is he? He was a humble servant who came to serve all so that all would be saved. But prayer is sometimes seen as a weakness. But God says that prayer is actually a strength. And I think this is a radical statement, but it's so true. That people who don't pray are proud. Which means they're not dependent on God. They're dependent on their own strength. And therefore they self-manage their lives. And I want to tell you, before I got saved, I self-managed a mess. It's my testimony that managing my own personal life equals a mess. But when I pray, God sorts out stuff I have no idea how to sort and brings change and power into situations. Praise God. We owe the world a demonstration of power. Say, I owe the world a demonstration of power. Say it again. Go on. I dare you. I remember about 3 years ago, we ran kind of local healing meetings. And a few people actually got saved. Sandra Harris was saved through that time. She's not here. In here. She's out with the kids. But we did a healing meeting over in Hemiog. And we had this lady come in who was an unbeliever. And we had quite a few kind of nominal Christians who didn't believe in healing. And we had a healing meeting with people who didn't believe in healing. It was brilliant. Bring it on. We owe the world a demonstration. And we listened to what people kind of had, their problems. There was this woman with a really bad shoulder. The doctors couldn't do anything with it. And this other lady who was a Christian who was from a kind of religious background, religious church, didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. And we prayed and we sort of taught on Jesus' will to heal everyone. We just called this one woman who didn't believe, wasn't a believer up, and I said, do you mind if we lay hands on you? If you'd like us to, we'll pray. So we prayed and she was like, that is weird, she said. That is completely like back to normal. We went, that's Jesus. We owe the world a demonstration. Then this other lady who was a nominal Christian, she had been given to Christmas to live. The doctors couldn't do anything about her cancer. And she just sat there with her arms folded, little bit kind of on the offensive. Prove it, prove it. Have you ever prayed for anybody who's like this? Prove it. And I was like, Jesus wants to heal you. All right. Go on then. Pray. I was like, fair enough. I'll pray. And we laid hands on her and commanded the power of healing, the name of Jesus, to heal and drive out that demonic thing. It's from the devil. Cancer is from the devil. We rebuked it and we commanded her body to live. And she went, well, we'll see, won't we? 3 years later, she's saying, I can't believe it, I'm still well. No treatment, just the power of Jesus. Through prayer. Isn't this fantastic? Aren't you glad we live in these days? Days of power. Days of a demonstration. And God wants you to pray. Be bold, even if they're cynical. And say, no matter what, I'm going to lay hands on you and release the power of Jesus into your body. In James 5, verse 17, it says, after the effective fervent prayer of the righteous man makes tremendous power available, it talks about this guy called Elijah. And it says in verse 17, Elijah was a man like us. He prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Now, Scripture's really kind of bringing things down to Elijah is just like us. He kind of levels this great Old Testament prophet, and he says, just like you and me. Now, why does Scripture start with that? Well, I believe it's because God wants us to know that Elijah had off days. That he wasn't always perfect. And in fact, he needed forgiveness of sins. He needed to believe in God and for righteousness before Jesus, so that he could be saved by his faith, not by his own works. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So everybody needs a savior from sin. And so Elijah, just like us, but he was anointed, and you're anointed from what I read in the Bible. Especially if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're actually gifted. You're anointed with power. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. And the thing that marked Elijah out from everybody else was the anointing. The Holy Spirit was upon him. But we have a better kind of a covenant. The Holy Spirit lives in us. And we have the Holy Spirit, God himself, living in us. And this says Elijah was a man just like you and me. So in other words, you and I will have off days. But our righteousness comes as a gift from God, not because we earn it. Our right standing with God comes through receiving Jesus, not through trying through our own efforts to please God with our own kind of prayer life, our own efforts of being good. Righteousness is a gift that comes through Jesus. Amen. And so we have received this gift of righteousness. So you essentially are a righteous man. Now I'm saying man because it means people. It means mankind. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person makes tremendous power available. So you qualify for wow kind of praying. Isn't that great that you qualify for wow praying? Lord, may God lift the ceiling on your prayer life. And the ceiling is actually your head. Because if you don't go beyond your own mind, you can't come into the higher thoughts of God and the greater things that God wants to do. You've got to break out of your own experience in even your own answered prayer and come into a new dynamic of faith that God will do the impossible, even though I'm not the best prayer. You understand that? But because I pray, God will answer me. Thank you, Jesus. So, the word says, pray effectively and fervently. To pray effectively, Elijah needed to have God's word on the situation. If you are going to get any chance of getting your prayers answered, you need to tune in to the word or the promise of God for that situation. You cannot pray out of what you feel, or even, unless your thinking's in tune with God, out of your own thoughts. We must pray out of God's thoughts or God's promise. And we can read in 1 Kings 18, Elijah said, God, the God who I serve has spoken to me, and he told me he's going to send rain. And God said, go present yourself before Ahab and tell him, I'm going to send rain. Now, this is in a time of immense famine where it's impossible to see rain after 3 years. And prayer unlocked the famine and brought plenty. It brought life back into the nation. So, effective prayer is prayer according to God's word, God's plan. What is God's will as it is in heaven? Is there anything negative in heaven? You can say yes or no if you like. Interact with me. Is there anything? Don't fall asleep. I've paid a price to be here today. Come on. Come on. Is there anything in heaven that is negative? Is there any sickness in heaven? Thank you. Is there anything bad or negative in heaven? And so when we pray, we are to pray the positive. We're to pray good. We're to pray the best possible plan. Some of you might be looking at your family situation and thinking, for years we've seen nothing happen. And God's saying, I want you to look at what I see and pray as I'm seeing. It's already accomplished through Jesus. Just pray it into being and you will see God's plan and purpose happen in your family. You will see it. You will see it. What God has promised, we can pray. And isn't it interesting that even though Elijah had received the word and declared the promise, he still prayed it. He didn't just leave it to say it, he prayed it. And if you have a promise from God, personally or for your village or city or for our nation, God is saying, I want you to pray it, not just say it. I think one of the important things in prayer is to lay down our own agendas. That's why we need to say, not my will, but yours be done, Jesus. See, God is not our slave. He's not going to say, I'll do whatever you want to do. It's the other way around. We're his servant. He's not ours. So I've known people, good Christians, who have their own plans and then say, God bless my plan. Not, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Show me your will and then I'll pray it and do it. And so we mustn't make God our slave in our prayer life and say, Lord, I want this to happen. Will you do it? Unless, of course, our want is in line with his will. But when our want, our desire is in line with God's will, we can pray as it is in heaven. Let it be done. Amen. Let's turn to 1 Kings and we're going to come to a place of prayer in a minute. Are you receiving this morning? Instruction and equipping to pray effectively. 1 Kings chapter 18. I remember praying for somebody. I mean, we just need to be out there laying hands on people, showing the power of God. That means you. Okay? I remember just praying for this, Susie, as family member here today. Not a Christian. She had a third child, pregnant with a third child, and had a trapped nerve or really slipped disc, kind of really painful back. And she was trying to pick up her kids. She was visiting somewhere and I was there. And she was just in so much pain. And when she bent down, I said, oh gosh, have you got a problem? She said, yeah, I've got such a terrible, awful pain in my back. And I said, do you want me to pray? She said, well, whatever. And, you can't be put off by people not going, yeah, let's believe God. Because they don't yet. You're the believer in that situation. You're the one who, with faith. And so I said, oh, well, Lord, I prayed out loud. I looked straight in the eye. And then she turned away because she couldn't look. She got embarrassed. I said, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, heal her. I release healing into her back. And next time she picked up the baby, I noticed there was no problem. And she left pretty quick. She didn't want to stay around. I think she'd come for lunch, but left early. And that was because she was embarrassed because she'd received a miracle. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? And that's for you. This is your ministry as a believer. To lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Wonderful, isn't it? And to loose prayer, loose the kingdom of heaven wherever you go. Just before we go into this scripture, the other condition of prayer, and I kind of missed this one out, sorry, was fervency, the effective fervent prayer. Prayer is likened to incense in the Old Testament. And that, you know, incense sticks that you light, and they create smoke, and it smells really nice. And so basically God says your prayers are like incense. They smell nice before God. God likes your prayer. It's already good. But before the smoke can come up, there has to be a little bit of fire. If the incense stick isn't lit and it's cold, it doesn't go up. And fervency means heat. The definition of fervency means hot. It's desire. So one of the things that we must have if we're going to have our prayers answered, it's passion or desire that actually happens. Have you ever prayed with anybody in a group and they're not bothered? As we could say in the West Country, bothered me, bothered. Not bothered me. They're like this. Yeah, man. Let me tell you, there's no incense going up. They're not going to get no answers because they're not bothered. Bothered me. But somebody who's like this, God, Lord, I want to see your will in this young person's life. I pray, Lord, you will turn their heart around. Turn their life around, Jesus. You bring them a revelation of who you are. Show yourself to be strong in their life. Reveal yourself. God says, sure, thing, I'll answer. And so it doesn't have to be loud. But let me tell you, Jesus' prayer life was out there, not silent. Otherwise, we'd never have known what he prayed. It would have all been, that's it, guys, let's go. But they heard and saw him pray and said, teach us to pray. That's awesome. We want that. So it's not silent praying. Because that often moves into the realm of just thinking. And thinking isn't praying. Thinking about something isn't praying. This is rocket science this morning. But this is the whole thing about fervency. It's got to come out of your heart with the word of God, the will of God being prayed, the heavenly pattern for the situation, and say, God, I really want to see this. You know, and we can pray for situations which seem to be dead. Situations where young people or anybody walks away from God. Do you remember the rich young ruler that came to Jesus? And Jesus actually said, you know, give up your money. And he said, prefer my money to you. And he went off because he couldn't give up what was his God. And you know, you can't follow God without other gods. You can't follow Jesus and keep your gods. That's an absolute definitive statement. That's it. But Jesus still loved him. He didn't go after him, but he actually said to his disciples, the disciples said, who can be saved then? Because rich is actually having more than enough is God's will. But having that more than enough have you isn't. It's when it takes the place of God in your life that actually God will work that to demolish that God, and you won't come to a good future with that money being your God. And so Jesus still loved him and he walked away, and the disciples said, who can be saved? And Jesus said, with men, this is impossible. And I love this because it's like he's actually saying, don't worry about it. For you, it's obviously impossible to change a heart. Isn't it impossible to change? Have you tried to ever change your own heart? Try New Year's resolutions. Do they work? But when you pray and ask God to work in you, his heart, and work supernaturally, Lord, change my heart about this situation. Change my heart about this person. It's amazing the change that can take place. So Jesus said, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. He's speaking about this young man who walked away from God. Who here has known anyone walk away from God? So God's saying it's not impossible for God to change their heart and bring them back. But it requires you to pray the impossible into the possible. Thank you for making such an entrance. The impossible possible in the name of Jesus. That is the purpose of God, isn't it? Thank you, Jesus. Prayer is always open to distractions. And so is the preaching of the word. And so we pray, as it is in heaven, Lord, let it be done on earth. Make this possible. Let's look at 1 Kings 18. We're nearly there. Stick with me. Oh, Jesus. 1 Kings 18. And Elijah has said the Lord's going to send rain. And then he goes up on the mountain, Mount of Carmel. And 500 false prophets, prophets of Baal, gather with one prophet of the Lord. And it's called showdown time. I actually like showdown time. I actually love this, what happened in this scripture. Because Elijah sets the whole thing up and says, basically, make a sacrifice, kill a bull, put it on, and then call down fire. Let your God answer with fire. And so the 500 prophets of Baal kind of make a sacrifice and put the bull on the altar and pray for fire. And Elijah ends up mocking the other gods. He says, maybe they're busy. Maybe they've gone on vacation. Maybe your gods are, you know, gone to relieve themselves. Actually, that's what the scripture says. Gone off to relieve yourself. And no fire comes. And Elijah then takes this sacrifice. He rebuilds the altar. And he puts the bull on it. And then he says, it's not enough that this is just already going to be a miracle. I want you to put lots of water on the fire, that you've laid a fire, put the water on. And they poured so much water on this sacrifice that it became even more impossible to see a miracle. And this is the boldness of our faith, that no matter how bad it looks, we're in for signs and wonders. Thank you, Jesus. And so in verse 36, after water is everywhere, at the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed. I want you to notice that this is a result of prayer. He prayed and he said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. So in other words, he's operating as a servant of God, doing what God wants. Answer me, O Lord, answer me. I love that. Answer me. Answer me. I don't just want to pray. I want answers. You know, so many people pray, but we want answers, don't we? That's a big difference. Answer me, Lord. And so that these people will know that you're the Lord God and that you're turning their hearts back again. And then the fire of the Lord fell, burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. Because God actually wants to show that he's God. He wants to demonstrate to the world, I am God. And he wants to do it through your prayers. In the office, God wants to show that he is God through your prayer. For the people around that you work and live with, he wants to show that he is God. Like I said, we owe the world a demonstration of power. You owe the people you meet this week, who you meet tomorrow morning, you owe them a demonstration of power. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's exciting, isn't it? So he got an immediate answer. And then in verse 41, Elijah said to Ahab, go and eat and drink, for there is the sound of heavy rain. So Elijah went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed on top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, put his face between his knees. Go look towards the sea, he told his servant, and he went up and looked. There's nothing. Have you ever prayed and you've seen nothing? So did Elijah. He saw nothing 6 times. And so Elijah continues to pray. And on the 7th time, Elijah said to the servant, go back. And the 7th time, the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot, go down before the rain stops you. Basically, the first prayer was an instant miracle. God showed power with fire from heaven. And there are those times when you and I pray effectively, fervently, that we see instant power. There are other prayers that require this wonderful word to keep going until, and it's called perseverance, to keep going until we see the first sign of the answer. And when we see the manifestation coming out with prayer, pulls it out of the unseen and makes it visible in the seen. Your prayer is bringing things from heaven out of the unseen realm into the seen realm. And this is why you've got to posture yourself. Elijah actually got into the birthing position for a woman of that time. Rather unattractive for a man to do that. But he basically was saying, I am going to give birth to the will of God for this nation through prayer. And I will continue to pray until I see what God has promised. Now, I actually believe that God has done so much through the prayers of his saints. I thank God for the generations that have gone before us. I praise God for the Wesleys and the different moves of the Spirit in our nation. But you know what? It's our time. And you know what? The mandate's ours. The baton has been handed to you and I to pray for a manifestation of the kingdom of heaven on earth. It's our job, church. It's your job as a man or woman of God. And so you must break out of the pattern of kind of prayerlessness. And I trust today you've been inspired. And not just listen to another message on prayer. Please hear me. It is never my intention to give you such a great word that you go away and say, what a great word. I'd rather you go away and say, I'm going to go and pray. You don't have to tell me a great word. Just go and pray. Pray. And you know, the devil attacks it. He makes you feel like it's meaningless. And we can pray. As soon as you wake up, say, Jesus, I praise you. Let your kingdom come today. You see, Jesus actually taught to pray in a kind of pattern. He gave the Lord's Prayer as like a model or a pattern. And it's interesting, he didn't say, when you pray, say, my needs are this, this, and this. He said, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Honor the Father. Immediately exalt him and say, you're holy, set apart from all that I am. Make him great in your own eyes when you pray. Make God greater than you ever had him in your own head. Because he is. He's greater than we will ever know. And when you pray, he says, don't just pray about your own stuff. That's a bit further down the line. Pray first. Your kingdom come. Manifest your rule of healing, of resurrection life, of the power of heaven on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done, Father, in my day, in my community. Let your will be done with my kids. I'm praying your will. Even though they seem willful, I'm going to pray your will. Lord, work your will in my kids. As it is in heaven, let it be. And you see, we doubt our own prayer lives. And don't talk your prayers down. Don't assign your prayer life to your wife or husband. Let your children see that you make prayer real by praying. Not just grace. For what we're about to receive, may the Lord make us truly thankful. Amen. I'm not talking about a religion. Jesus has set us free from religion. I'm talking about relationship. Father, thank you for your amazing provision. Pray over the food. When one of your kids had a problem at school, sit down with them and pray with them. Dads, pray with your kids. They must receive a model of prayer. Mums, when there's a situation, model it. Young people, somebody loses a job, get round them and say, let's pray. Let's make tremendous power available. Let's bring heaven into this situation. And you don't have to just pray in a crisis. Pray in your car. Pray as you walk to the shops. In the office where you can't pray out loud, pray silently. You know, they'll be taking you off if you pray out loud and start to. You need to obey the kind of the authority of where you work, but you can still pray in that. I remember when I used to, God called me to go and work in hospice and serve, volunteer, serving people and just basically washing people, looking after them and taking care of them. And, you know, they told me, you're not allowed to talk about your faith and you're not allowed to pray. Well, you can't tell me what to do. I can pray quietly. Nobody can stop you praying. And we need to get public about it, guys. We're not going to shut down with our prayer life. Husbands and wives are going to pray together. And I used to silently pray. And then, you know, I wouldn't talk about my faith. I'd ask them to talk about theirs. Do you have a faith? Is what I would say. And they'd talk either about Sunday school or just no. I said, would you like to have a faith at this time? And I was allowed to witness if they asked. And so they said, do you have a faith? I said, absolutely. Do you want to find out about it? Yes. Okay. Jesus. Because they are going into eternity without God. And I will not be quiet. I love them enough to tell them about Jesus. I can't have it on my hands that they never heard. And we must take this opportunity and this privilege of prayer. That like Jesus, before we reach a situation, we've already received from God the power we need to speak the words of life. And those words cause resurrection to come. We pray it and receive it first. And then we go and deliver to the people we are ministering to. And it doesn't matter how bad it looks, prayer makes the impossible possible. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand together.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.